I'm Marco Werman. You're with The World. We started the show today by speaking with two people whose lives were radically changed by 9/11, two veterans who decided to join the military after the terrorist attacks 15 years ago. We're going to hear now about another life changed by 9/11, though in a very different way. Valerie Kaur grew up in a small farming town near Fresno, California. She's proud of her heritage and how her grandfather sailed by steamship from India to America in 1913, wearing a turban and beard as part of his Sikh faith. He faced race riots and laws that prevented him from becoming a citizen. But slowly his family put down roots, and his children and grandchildren felt at home in America. His granddaughter, Valerie Kaur, was 20 years old when 9/11 happened. She was shaken by the attacks and then shaken again when, days later, a family friend, Bulbir Singh Sodhi, was murdered.
Well, I remember watching the towers fall over and over again between images of a turbaned and bearded bin Laden. Within moments, I realized that our nation's new enemy looked like my grandfather, looked like my family. Like Sikh and Muslim Americans across the country, we saw an explosion of hate violence on city streets, people beaten, people stabbed, people shot at. And on September 15th, Bulbir Singh Sodhi, a Sikh man with a turban, was killed in front of his store. So he was a man I considered an uncle. Mm. And Bulbir's uncle was on his way to plant flowers in front of his store. He had gone to Costco that morning looking for an American flag to fly over his store. He emptied out his wallet to give everything he could at the checkout line to donate to the victims in New York City. When Frank Roque shot him, he shot him four times in the back that morning. And when he was arrested, he said that he was a patriot, that they were arresting him while letting those terrorists go wild. So Bulbir Singh Sodhi was really the first of dozens of people killed in hate crimes after 9/11. We think of the spot where he died as a sort of second ground zero, because it's the ground zero for all of the loss of life we've experienced here in the U.S., but also in the wars abroad in the years that have followed. We'll be there with the Sodhi family on September 15th in order to honor his life and all the people killed in the aftermath of 9/11.
And after his murder, did you realize pretty immediately that this was a big turning point for you personally?
I didn't understand that that moment would change my life and turn me into an activist. I only knew that my family was under attack, my country was under attack, and that I needed to do something, you know, anything.
What did you do?
I got in my car and crossed the country with my camera and began to document the stories of Sikh and Muslim Americans encountering hate with resilience and hope. And that became my first film, Divided We Fall. So really, 15 years later, I'm a filmmaker, lawyer, and entrepreneur activist today because of that initial moment, that decision to leap into the whirlwind in the aftermath of 9/11.
You went to all these cities across the U.S. in those weeks after 9/11. What did you see? What did you hear?
Well, I went, you know, from city to city, from home to home, from Gurdwara to mosque to temple, and I would arrive in places sometimes where the blood was still fresh on the ground. There were no investigative journalists. There were no police chiefs or mayors on the site working with the communities. There was just a few of us. There was me and my cousin, who was 20, holding a camera, trying to document it all. It was a time when the kind of tools that we see now, where our communities can tell our own stories, that, you know, there was no Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. We were relying on mass media, and we had just arrived at the moment where we could grab a consumer camera and start telling those stories ourselves. So this is the time we were in. And what I saw was, you know, looking into the eyes of these aunties and uncles, these families who had just been rocked by violence, was this deep loss of sense of belonging, this sense that they were not seen the way that they saw themselves, that in a moment they were seen as automatically suspect, you know, perpetually foreign, potentially terrorist in the eyes of their neighbors. And at the same time, I would see especially Sikh Americans reach into their faith for a way to respond.
There was also the story of somebody who was assaulted on a bus and people stepped in, right?
Yeah, a few weeks after 9/11, my Punjabi language professor, Professor Atamjit Singh, was sitting on the bus when a man in the front of the bus saw his turban and beard, stood up, turned around, started pointing at him and yelling at him, "Hey, you terrorist, get off this bus, go back to your country, go back to where you belong." And my professor is quiet. You know, he's praying for the moment to pass. He's seen this moment over and over again. When the other people on the bus began to stand up and they told that man to sit down, the bus comes to a stop. My professor gets off the bus, and the man gets off the bus, and the man walks up to my professor and puts out his arm and shakes it.
Wow.
And says, "I am sorry. I lost my granddaughter in that second plane that went into that second tower. I am tired. I am angry."
Incredible.
You know, and what stayed with me about that story is it's not just the man's transformation. Is that transformation happened because of the people on that bus. So we are the people on that bus. And when we have love for people who don't look like us, love for people who disagree with us or even hurt us, then it can change a country.
Valerie, I'm curious to know how you see the moment we're in right now, a presidential campaign year with polarization feeling like the trend. Do you have a story or a vignette that kind of brings home where you think we're at today?
When I first made my film, Divided We Fall, after 9/11, I thought the film was going to document a brief chapter in U.S. history, an explosion of hate toward Muslim and Sikh Americans that would appear for a moment and then disappear. It was going to be a piece of archival history. You know, flash forward to today, and the Southern Poverty Law Center calls this last year the year of enormous rage. Our communities are 5 times more likely to be targets for violence than before 9/11. And so the difference for me is that I am now a mother. I'm raising a brown boy who may someday wear a turban in a country that is actually more dangerous for him than the one that I inherited. The only thing that gives me hope is that I'm not alone in feeling tired. I think on the 15-year anniversary of 9/11, people are hungry. People are tired of responding to the latest mass shooting, tired of responding to the latest terrorism attack.
How does that make you feel as a filmmaker who's making films for change?
We have tools to tell our own stories. I mean, that's what's really different, right, compared to 15 years ago, that we can shape the narrative, that we're not just victims anymore, that we are not just bystanders anymore. I believe that this is the only way we can leave the next generation a country that is more just and loving than the one that we have today.
Interfaith activist Valerie Kaur, her first film, Divided We Fall, chronicles hate crimes in the aftermath of 9/11. Valerie, thank you very much.
Thank you.